Welcome to the Hackberry House of Chosun. My name is Bob, reading today from The Religious Affections by Jonathan Edwards. Jonathan Edwards is going through a series of items here that tell us, that don't tell us necessarily whether a person is saved or not. He gives several signs that a person might exude from his life, something that might happen to him or her. And as you see those things happen, you might jump to the conclusion that that person's saved. Jonathan Edwards is saying not necessarily. It might be, but not necessarily. Now, he's going to, later in the book, tell us of certain signs that when you see this, you can know. But until then, you need to be very careful. Here's number 9 in that series. It is no certain sign that the religious affections which persons have are such as have in them the nature of true religion, or that they have not, this is not a definite sign, that they dispose persons to spend much time in religion and to be zealously engaged in the external duties of worship. Now, this has very unreasonably of late been looked upon as an argument against the religious affections which some have had, that they spend so much time in reading, praying, singing, hearing sermons, and the like. It is plain from the scripture that it is the tendency of true grace to cause persons to delight in such religious exercises. True grace had this effect on Anna, the prophetess. Luke 2:37, she departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And grace had this effect upon the primitive Christians in Jerusalem, Acts 2, and they continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God. Grace made Daniel delight in the duty of prayer, and solemnly to attend it 3 times a day, as it also did David in Psalm 55. Evening, morning, and at noon will I pray. Grace makes the saints delight in singing praises to God. Psalm 135, sing praises unto his name, for it is pleasant. And in Psalm 147, praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God, for it is pleasant, and praise is comely. It also causes them to delight to hear the word of God preached. It makes the gospel a joyful sound to them, and makes the feet of those who publish these good tidings to be beautiful. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, and so on. It makes them love God's public worship. Lord, I have loved the habitation of thy house and the place where thine honor dwelleth. And another psalm, one thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts! My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. Yea, the sparrow hath found a house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house, they will still be praising thee. Blessed is the man in whose hearts are the ways of them who, passing through the valley of Baca, go from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. And in verse 10 of that psalm, a day in thy courts is better than 1,000. Now, that is the nature of true grace. But, on the other hand, that persons are disposed to abound and to be zealously engaged in the external exercises of religion and to spend much time in them is no sure evidence of grace, because such a disposition is found in many that have no grace. So it was with the Israelites of old, whose services were abominable to God. They attended the new moons and Sabbaths and calling of assemblies and spread forth their hands and made many prayers. So it was with the Pharisees. Oh, they made long prayers and fasted twice a week. False religion may cause persons to be loud and earnest in prayer. You shall not fast as you do this day, it says in Isaiah, to cause your voice to be heard on high. That religion which is not spiritual and saving may cause men to delight in religious duties and ordinances. Isaiah again, yet they seek me daily and delight to know my ways as a nation that did righteousness and forsook not the ordinance of their God. They ask of me the ordinances of justice. They take delight in approaching to God. It may cause them to take delight in hearing the word of God preached, even as it was with Ezekiel's hearers. Ezekiel, and they come unto thee as the people cometh, and they sit before thee as my people, and they hear thy words, but they will not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goeth after their covetousness. And lo, thou art unto them as a very lovely song of one that hath a pleasant voice and can play well on an instrument. For they hear thy words, but they do them not. And so it was with Herod. He heard John the Baptist gladly. So it was with others of his hearers. For a season they rejoiced in his light. So it was with the stony ground hearers in the parable. Oh, they heard the word with joy. Experience shows that persons from false religion may be inclined to be exceeding abundant in the external exercises of religion, yea, to give themselves up to them and devote almost their whole time to them. Formerly, a sort of people were very numerous in the Romish church. They were called recluses who forsook the world and utterly abandoned the society of mankind, and shut themselves up close in a narrow cell, with a vow never to stir out of it, nor to see the face of any of mankind any more, unless that they might be visited in case of sickness, to spend all their days in the exercise of devotion and converse with God. There were also at old time great multitudes called hermits and anchorites that left the world to spend all their day in lonesome deserts, to give themselves up to religious contemplations and exercises of devotion, some sorts of them having no dwellings but the caves and vaults of the mountains, and no food but the spontaneous productions of the earth. I once lived for many months next door to a Jew, says Mr. Edwards, the houses adjoining one to another, and had much opportunity daily to observe him, who appeared to me the devoutest person that ever I saw in my life, a great part of his time being spent in acts of devotion at his eastern window, which opened next to mine, seeming to be most earnestly engaged, not only in the daytime, but sometimes whole nights. And so there you have the pro and the con of a person who you know who has a lot of religious activity going on in his life, but and some of them really truly are saved and some are not. So you can't take that religious activity as a sure sign that a person is saved. Okay? Here's another one. This is number 10. Nothing can be certainly known of the nature of religious affections by this, that they much dispose persons with their mouths to praise and glorify God. So their emotions really cause them to praise and glorify. This indeed is implied, he says, in what has been just now observed of abounding and spending much time in the external exercises of religion, and was also hinted before. But because many seem to look upon it as a bright evidence of gracious affection, when persons appear greatly disposed to praise and magnify God, to have their mouths full of his praises and affectionately to be calling on others to praise and extol him. Well, because of that, I thought it deserved a more particular consideration. No Christian will make it an argument against a person that he seems to have such a disposition, nor can it reasonably be looked upon as an evidence for a person if those things that have been already observed and proved be duly considered, namely that persons without grace may have high affections towards God in Christ, and that their affections being strong may fill their mouths and incline them to speak much and very earnestly about the things they are affected with, and that there may be counterfeits of all kinds of gracious affection. But it will appear more evidently and directly that this is no certain sign of grace if we consider what instances the Scriptures give of us of it in those that were graceless. We often have an account of this in the multitudes that were present when Christ preached and wrought miracles, Mark 2. It says, immediately he arose, took up his bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed, and they all glorified God, saying, we never saw it on this fashion. And so in Matthew and Luke, Matthew 15, insomuch that the multitude wondered when they saw the dumb to speak, and the maimed to be whole, the lame to walk, the blind to see, and they glorified the God of Israel. And so we are told that on occasion of Christ raising the son of the widow of Nain, there came a fear on all, and they glorified God, saying that a great prophet is risen up among us, and that God hath visited his people. And so we read of their glorifying Christ, or speaking exceedingly highly of him. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. And how did they praise him with loud voices, crying, Hosanna to the Son of David, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Just a little time before he was crucified. And after Christ's ascension, when the apostles had healed the impotent man, we are told that all men glorified God for that which was done. When the Gentiles in Antioch of Pisidia heard from Paul and Barnabas that God would reject the Jews and take the Gentiles to be his people in their room, they were affected with the goodness of God to the Gentiles, and they glorified the word of the Lord. But all that did so were not true believers, only a certain elect number of them, as is intimated in the account we have in Acts 13:48. And when the Gentiles heard this, it says they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. And then it says, as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. And so of old, the children of Israel at the Red Sea, they sang God's praise, but they soon forgot his works. And the Jews in Ezekiel's time, with their mouth, showed much love, while their heart went after their covetousness. And it is foretold of false professors and real enemies of religion that they should show a forwardness to glorify God. In Isaiah here, hear the word of the Lord, ye that tremble at his word. Your brethren that hated you, that cast you out for my name's sake, said, let the Lord be glorified. It is no certain sign that a person is graciously affected if, in the midst of his hopes and comforts, he is greatly affected with God's unmerited mercy to him that is so unworthy, and seems greatly to extol and magnify free grace. Those that yet remain with unmortified pride and enmity against God may, when they imagine that they have received extraordinary kindness from God, they may deplore their unworthiness and magnify God's undeserved goodness to them. Yet this may arise from no other conviction of their ill deservings, and from no higher principle than Saul, who King Saul, who, while he yet remained with unsubdued pride and enmity against David, was brought, though a king, to acknowledge his unworthiness and cry out to David, I have played the fool, I have erred exceedingly. And with great affection and admiration, to magnify and extol David's unmerited and unexampled kindness to him. 1 Samuel 24. And from no higher principle than that from whence Nebuchadnezzar was affected with God's dispensations that he saw and was the subject of, and he praises and extols and honors the King of Heaven. And both he and Darius, in their high affections, call upon all nations to praise God. Book of Daniel. And he just abruptly ends right there. But you get the point. There are people who can praise God for the moment who are not necessarily of God. We can't judge either way. And we're not to judge anyway, but we can't discern either way with these people. With all the different signs we've mentioned so far, you just cannot tell. And if these signs appear in your life too, you cannot tell. Now, we're going to do one or two more of these, then we'll get to the other side of that story where we have definite signs that a person is saved. Thank you for joining with me today. Please check out the website for other things that might be of interest to you, the long series that is there on North Korea. Try to update the photo section every day. Have you heard about the ghost ships that are showing up on the shores of Japan? Have been for some time now. Empty, or sometimes with dead bodies in them, little boats, not ships, little boats that just try to get out of the reign of Kim Jong-un or others before him, and they just set themselves adrift, and somehow by the time they get to Japan, they're dead. It's an awful, awful story. You need to pray for North Korea. I hope that none of those people were your brothers, but they could have been. We have brothers and sisters in North Korea. We've got to pray for them. I have other things about the Quran, Muhammad, prophecy, just so many things. I hope that you will go and check the things out that are there. May the Lord bless you. This is the Hackberry House of Chosun. Lord willing, we will talk soon. Bye-bye.